You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
You know, when we look at Psalm 90, I believe the psalmist, by the Spirit of God, is interpreting the impact of sin upon fallen men and women, how it limits our lives less than even what God had planned at following the flood. Some may even reach 80. Some may reach 90. Some may reach 100. Why? Because God had said 120. The psalmist is saying, sin, I know with all of our science, no, we're going to live forever. No, we're not going to live forever. With sin, the psalmist is saying by the Spirit of God, most are going to be within this window between 70 and 80 years old. And yet some of you who are righteous, I mean, we read of Eli, you know, he was an old man and he was not apparently he didn't go to Gold's Gym or anything like that because we know he was way overweight. You know, he must not have got that message on you, eat right or you die quick. You know, he must not have got that. And apparently he didn't get the message, you know, from the furniture maker. You sit on a, you're a big man, you're overweight, and you sit on a rickety stool, you could fall off, so he didn't get that either. But still, he lives into what, his 90s? So it was not God saying when you get to 80, it's over. It's sin that actually shortened the lifespan. How do you understand that? So when we read in Psalm 91, that I will satisfy them with a long life and give them my salvation, a long life must mean something other than looking at the lifespan of Methuselah. Because if we looked at that and said, well, we're not going to live that long, and most of you would say, thank God I'm not going to live that long. If I look like this at this age, I wouldn't want to live to be 900. Can you imagine? And then to be 120 years old, you say, a long life. Could I suggest in biblical context, a long life is that Satan doesn't take you out 1 second before your mission is accomplished. Say, mission accomplished. I'm confident that many that I've been close to, I've known them, I've known a bit of their story. I'm confident that miraculous things have repeatedly kept them alive until their mission was accomplished. So long life is, Satan doesn't shoot me with one of his lousy darts and kill me before I've completed the race. A long life in the blessing and the favor of God is, as I walk with God, it's daylight, and God gives me spiritual vision. And so spiritually, I'm not going to trip and fall and die before my time. That was the word of the Lord when you said we need to pray against untimely deaths. And many people have died because of untimely deaths because they did not use spiritual wisdom, perhaps, to make the decisions they were making. I'm not here to judge any. I'm just here to say that I believe our house should be in order, not when the doctor says you need to get your house in order. If you're serving God, your house should be in order. If it's not in order, get it in order. If there's something else you need to do before you see Jesus, make sure you do it this morning before you leave, because I don't know where your mission is. And so when COVID knocked on Joyce's door and both lungs with pneumonia, and the doctors are ready to, you know, give up on her. Yeah, she'll be dead in a day, right? She looks pretty much alive to me. This is called Mission Possible. This is not Mission Impossible. You need to go home and look in the mirror and say, you're called Mission Possible. Because though maybe your heart, maybe your lungs, maybe a sore toe. You know, I'm reading about someone in good health, went into the hospital. Yeah, from Bradenton. I was just reading. He was in perfect health, something with his feet, went in, and, you know, a few days later he's gone. He was a godly man, and he had ran and finished his race, you know. But it was not the feet that took him. It was the Lord that took him. As believers, we must not fall prey to the world's opinion that says sickness and disease are in charge of your life. Yeah, well, doctor said I got this incurable condition. Yeah, well, you know, who knows? You may have had 10 incurable conditions already and God delivered you. I know this isn't like a happy, clappy message, but I trust God's ministering to you. So, ...70 by strength, maybe 80, and that's from a perspective of what goes on in the world. And you just look at what happens, that kind of makes sense. We have had, I've said this many times, if senior citizens who retire to Florida knew what the power of God makes available to the believer, the churches would be packed with senior citizens who would say, I had no clue that my quality of life would double. A lot of people retire and die because they lost their purpose. In the kingdom, if you retire, you advance. You say, I have time now to do what I always wanted to do my whole life. God's been getting me ready my whole life to serve in a fresh and new way. This is not called retirement. It's called refirement. This is Mission Possible. And they say, well, why did they die? Well, they basically had no purpose left in their life. And I've talked to someone, well, I want to live until my granddaughter gets married. Her marriage is coming up. Or I want to live until my son has this and daughter-in-law have this next baby. I want to live until the graduation. I want to live until... They're living with expectancy. But when you're a child of God, you live with expectancy every day. You live with hope. You live with purpose. You live with joy. You live with direction in your life. And you are not under the condemnation of the world. And though the enemy would love to say, well, at this age, you know, you should start creaking and squeaking. And I'm doing some of that. But I talk to this leg and I tell this leg, you are not in charge of this life. This leg is connected to the Holy Ghost. And this leg will work at 100%. You already understand a lot of this. But it's important for us to communicate this to people who do not understand. Let me get finished. The time allotted to us, we looked at that. What about the choices we make? Does it matter? Does it matter? Did it matter when Jonah went the wrong direction? You go the wrong direction, it's going to increase your testimony. Yeah, we have a whole book of Jonah now, right? We can read about it. You fight with God, guess who's going to win? You're a child of God and you're saying, I'm going to do it my way. Yeah, well, you just try that out. It's not going to work. So did it matter which direction Jonah went? Yeah. Was God watching? Yes. Did it impact his life? Yes. You say, well, how much did it impact his life? He felt like he was in hell. He looked at the ribs of the whale and said, the bars of hell are here. But yet you can pray and have a prayer meeting even if you're surrounded by the bars of hell and God still hears. So yes, free will and choice is a dangerous gift of God that can get all of us in trouble when we decide to do it our way. Choices. What about Samson? Did Samson have any choices? Did Samson choose to chase after Delilah? Did Samson choose to stay in her house after she had deceived him several times? Did Samson choose to share and spill his gut so that Delilah would know the trick? It wasn't a trick. It was the anointing. Samson is sinning against the high calling on his life. You talk about being at the bottom of the barrel like a Jonah. He's at the bottom of the barrel. He is revealing the secret things of God to a wicked lady whose only desire is to have him killed. However, instead of killing him, mercy, do your choices have anything to do with your life? Yes, it does. It does. I wish I could tell you just because you're called and you're anointed that the choices you make have no impact on your life. But when they gouged out his eyeballs, it had an impact on his life. And you understand what I'm saying? My choices impact my life. Thank God for grace and mercy. And so they decide to make a spectacle of him. But when you read the end of the story, it wasn't that just the physical hair was growing. It was there inside of him as the hair is growing. There is an awakening to that calling and purpose of God. And somehow Samson in the prison, and as he's walking around and he's grinding the grain, Samson is being awakened to who God made him to be. And then he's led out to be mocked and laughed at, but now his hair has grown out. I believe he's fully restored in his relationship with God at this time. Say, wow, you know, I don't know if there's hope for me. Let me tell you, if you're alive, there's hope for you. Say, but I blew it. You know, my life is a mess. My family's a mess. Everything's a mess. Don't finish before you're finished. God may want to renew you and restore you and reignite you and give you another whole lap on his track. Samson standing there between the pillars, you know the story. And he asked to be led to those two primary supports. 3,000 are on the roof. This is no small place. More died in his death. It was a greater victory than in all of his life. And so Samson, though his life has painful, fleshly, sinful, embarrassing moments, we see the glory of God on him in the end of his life. Oh, I could just keep going through all these different individuals. What about Cain and Abel? From the beginning, did it make a difference what Cain did? Did Cain have some choices? God spoke to him. God ministered to him. He was warned. And yet he chose to rebel against God. Wow. What about Abraham and Lot? Do you remember that story? Man, if I don't watch out for myself, nobody's going to watch out for me. If you're a child of God, that should never be in your English or whatever language you speak. If you're a child of God, God's watching out for you. Whether you know it or you don't know it, God is watching out for you. In the little things, in the big things, in the key this morning, let me tell you, that was not just an accident that, you know, this happened or that happened. God was taking care of us. God was taking care of us. You could tell stories. We could tell stories all day. People need to hear these stories that my God is a God who's in my life, who is working in my life, who is taking care of me. And God is watching out for me, even when I don't know how to watch out for myself. And Abraham said, Lot, you can go anywhere you want to go. You can take anything you want to take. It doesn't matter, because I can have the desert or I can have the watered plain. It doesn't matter, because God is going to bless me regardless of what happens. And I want you to know, living in 2022, whatever is going on in this nation and in this world with sickness or economies or anything else, God still has got us. God has us. And God is watching over us. And God is going to protect us. Yes. Now, if you've seen any of the televised pictures of Ukraine, and we want to keep praying for the Ukrainian people. If you've seen any of it, if you watch carefully, and you'll see things blown up and buildings are blown up and all this horrible stuff is going on. But in the midst of that, I saw birds that were flying and heading for trees. And God reminded me, in the middle of war, I am still there. And I am able to protect my people. So yes, choices we make does have an impact on our life. I believe that we need to be careful that we don't recklessly make this statement in regards to timing. If someone makes horrible decisions with their life, their health, and other things, it could impact the length of one's life.
Yes,
definitely could impact the length of one's life. And you may look at that and you may say, well, but if God's taking me, yeah, God's taken you, but God's given you free will. So free will means that just as all these I mentioned, and I'll just mention it. Did the decisions Judas made have any impact on the length of his life? You know what Judas did? Yeah, so the choice that he made had a huge impact on his life. Now, if you look at that and say, well, I don't believe incidents and choices and decisions have anything to do with the length of my life, then are you saying that God made Judas do what he did? You may say, well, didn't Jesus say to Judas that what you're going to do, go out and do quickly? Yes, but remember what he said. He said, that which you are going to do, that which you've determined you're going to do, it says Satan entered into him and he went out and it was night. Judas chose to do it. Okay, we got to get finished. It's our choices. You say, well, what do I do about that? All of us have made some crazy bad decisions. But it's not too late to say, God, from this moment forward, I want to make God-guided, wise decisions. Can you receive that?
Yes.
Because it does impact not just the quality of life. Have you known some people, they lived a long time, but they had no quality of life? You know, I'm with my dad. I don't want everybody taking care of me. So as long as I'm on mission, God, keep me here. But when the mission's up, take me home. All right, so the time that's allotted to us, we looked at that. The choices we make impacts the quality of our life and also the length of our life. Now, God knows everything. So God knows how long we're going to live. And if you're a child of God, God's going to take you. Satan's not going to take you. You're a child of God. God's going to take you. And I understand that. Let me... What time is it? No, there's not time. There is not time. Because I want to talk about the demons we face. Because a lot of what's going on in our physical bodies is demonic attack against us. And we don't need to rush through that. We need to look at that and understand the length of my life and the quality of my life is impacted by spiritual warfare. And there is strong demonic opposition, but there is stronger heavenly available authority and power. But we have to move into that realm of faith in order to exercise in that realm of victory. Y'all still with me this morning? So there's the demons we face, and there is the promise to finish strong, to finish strong when the mission is completed. We'll have to deal with that later. Most gracious Father, I give you praise this morning that regardless of how painful or deep the stain of sin is, our weakness, our failures, or our sin, regardless of the level of any of those things, greater is He who is in me. Thank you, Father. We're not living in the old man, and we're not living in the old life, and we're not living under the old law, and we're not living under condemnation, and we're not living under where we used to be. But we today are living in the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And Lord, when you turn on your light so we can see the Word of God, when you speak to us through the Word of God, faith is stirred up in us and we understand what kind of individuals we are to be. So Father, today this message is not a message of fear. It's not a message to bring anxiety or a message to bring doubt. It's a message to say, my life is in the hands of God. I am a child of God. I am God's property. The enemy has no authority over me. He cannot just intrude whenever he wants to, because God lives in this house. And I am your child, Father. I am your child. And your Lord of my life. So we should ask ourselves this question. Am I a born again Christian? Any born again Christians in the house? Say, I'm born again.
Born again.
Amen. Now if you're not born again, maybe watching, you may be watching later, you may be here. Why not? Am I born again? Now, if you're born again, you can ask yourself this question. Am I desiring and seeking to please God on the highest level of my life? Am I sincerely doing that? I'm sincerely desiring to please God, honor Him on that highest level of God's will in my life. And you can say amen, then amen, amen. Am I walking in forgiveness? See, we're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to talk about the importance of healings and forgiveness. It is so closely tied together. Am I walking in forgiveness with everyone all the time? That means you're forgiving a lot. Doesn't mean, oh, I did that once, Pastor. I did that. Well, thank God you did it, but you're probably going to need to do it again real soon, because forgiveness is when the enemy brings us some injury somebody put upon us and we hand it off to Jesus. That's forgiveness. You give it to Him. You don't judge them. You don't stand and judge them. You give that to Jesus. And it's not natural to do it. It's supernatural. By walking in forgiveness. Am I seeking first the kingdom of God? Am I honoring God with my time, my talents, and my resources? And if you are endeavoring to do that, then you're living in a place where God's blessing and favor is on your life. Not will be, but is on your life right now. How many here this morning could just say amen and say, I recognize that the blessings and favor of God is on my life right now? Amen. Amen. And I thank God for that. That doesn't mean you'll have any valleys. That means that unless you choose to camp out, you know, by the stream that's in the valley and hang out there a while and have your soul restored, you can do that. But that you don't have to stay in the valleys. You can move on to a mountaintop and be back in God's presence. We're blessed and favored by the Most High God. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Want to just invite those of you who are in your homes that you can break bread with us. You know, communion or the Eucharist, this is not something that the church owns. This is what Jesus gave to us in the church. And we do consecrate the bread and we consecrate the cup. Why? Because Jesus did that. He lifted them up and He blessed them. That's an act of consecration. And what we're doing and we're saying is that this is a holy covenant meal. This is wherein God says, I've got you. You're mine. You're not alone. I'm your Father. You're not a bastard child. I love you. You're welcomed in my family. And I'm going to fulfill my word to you. Whether the enemy fights every day or every minute or every second, I will still protect you and I will fulfill my word to you in your life. So, Father, we lift up the bread and lift up the cup just as Jesus did, and we bless it and we thank you, Father, for the body of Christ that's given for us and the blood that is given for our redemption. And we thank you, Father, that this meal is to prepare us, to remind us, so that we look forward to that meal that we're going to have with you one day in glory. But Father, as we take this bread, we take it in faith and thanksgiving. We say, thank you, Lord, for making me too a part of your great church and your body. I am God's property because you are my Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's receive.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.